looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, oh, dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without a dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want, and Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
You will dream it.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And this is a Gossip Cop headline. It's breaking news. Jennifer Aniston secretly dating Jason Sudeikis, John Mayer, and Gerard Butler at the same time? Question mark.
This is Gossip Cop at its very last. This is like, it's like, oh, you're trying to tell me that Jennifer Aniston is secretly dating Jason Sudeikis, John Mayer, and Gerard Butler at the same time? Oh, you're trying to tell me that, tabloids?
At a party, and the person's like, no, I'm not trying to tell you that. I never said that. I don't know where you got that.
I loved it because every time, like, the tone, if you don't know the tone of what they're doing, it just comes off as me looking at them going, oh, she is. Oh, she is. And moving on and never reading about
That's
it,
their
but
entire
having that
business.
Information fully in my brain. I know, but if you read Gossip Cop like someone who's read it before, you read it like somebody who's fed up. Oh, you're trying to tell me Jennifer Aniston secretly dating Jason Sudeikis, John Mayer, and Gerard Butler at the same time?
It's like someone who is always trying to start shit somewhere.
Oh, you're trying to tell me? Oh, you're trying to tell me?
Yeah. Sloshing a drink around. Oh, really? That's what it is now. That's what it is today. Jennifer Aniston is secretly dating Jason Sudeikis, John Mayer, and Gerard Butler at the same time. Star of Greenland? The star of Greenland? The star of Ted Lasso?
Do you know that multiple people have mentioned that Gerard Butler goes by Jerry? Just feel like that changes things for
me.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a real perspective shift. Jerry Butler.
Ball bag. Ah, yeah, wee ball bag. Is a scrotum means you are a scrotum.
His Elf on the Shelf thing or Me on right. Me thing, that was the first I had heard of this.
It was like Perry on Jerry and you're like, Jerry who?
You trying to tell me Jennifer Aniston is secretly dating Jason Sudeikis, John Mayer, and Jerry Butler at the same time?
Jerry really changes the nature of him.
It makes him seem a little, not a cooler is the wrong word, but it makes him seem more approachable, it does. Because he seems like he's such a gruff, like, ugh, you get the feeling that you just, like, do not want to talk to this person, let alone date
you
this
know,
person.
We don't have that many celebrities named Jerry with a G or with a J.
Yeah.
Jerry, not a lot of Jerrys. So it's very, it's novel.
Yeah, and I don't want to dwell. Didn't we talk about him or was it Russell Crowe? I feel like they're two sides of the same coin.
They really
but
are.
It reminds me of, we're not going to talk about the... The L story that dropped last night. We're not going to
no,
do that. But
no,
do you remember
no,
the
no.
part where she mentions that a room smells like chicken wings?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Jerry Butler has a smell. Like, Gerard Butler has a smell, and Jerry Butler has a slightly more pleasing smell.
Oh, you think Gerard Butler smells worse than Jerry Butler?
Yeah. Well, when I considered him as Gerard Butler, I pictured something very stinky.
Oh.
B-O-E. But when I think of Jerry Butler, I think of something... a little less unpleasant, but still kind of unpleasant. Like a spoiled food, but not necessarily like an insufferable
Wait, so
body
they
odor.
Both stink, but different ways.
Yeah, different ways. Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
So this headline took me out, but then I actually clicked
yeah,
it and I went into the story, by the way.
It's of this these rumors. Oh, natural.
Life and Style.
Yeah.
Which I, having written about the tabloids for so long, or back in the day when I did, Life and Style has definitely... They were always one of the
yeah they never
the trashier
told,
ones
yeah they never really got some the truth
but I feel like over the past few years they've sunk even deeper into I don't know the bog. We have this line In a report by Life and Style, the magazine purports that Jennifer Aniston's found herself dipping into a pool of exes and friends to satisfy her needs. According to an insider, the actress is quietly dating longtime friend Jason Sudeikis and former partners Gerard Butler and John Mayer. This quote is from Life and Style. An insider said this, either out loud or in an email. Jen went from getting over her second divorce to rekindling a romance with ex-husband Brad Pitt last year to now having to decide between three guys who all want to make her their girl. It's like...
To state with confidence that she rekindled a romance with Brad at some point during 2020 is crazy to me.
Because it adds a fourth person to this party.
I know.
It's like, what?
I know. And also to put together Jason Sudeikis, who she's worked with, who's quote unquote a friend, and two exes. Apparently, I didn't know she dated Gerard Butler. I didn't know she dated Jerry.
Well, they were in that movie where their arms are crossed on the cover. And it's like, We're on the run from the law, but we're sexy and my arms are crossed and someone has a gun.
I thought she was in that movie with Jason Sudeikis. No, she was in the movie where they had the family and they were like, we're on the run from the law. What's that?
Oh, yeah. No, that's We're the Millers. We're the Millers. Right, I love We're the Millers. The Bounty Hunter I've never seen. Oh, right. They have handcuffs. They're connected via handcuffs. And they're like, ugh. Jennifer's in her classic silhouette, that dress that she always wears. And she's just like, ugh, this guy. And he's like, ugh. This girl.
Okay,
he looks like a Jerry in this poster.
We can't really talk about this anymore because we just can't.
It's been 7 minutes.
And
so
we got to move on because we had a celebrity run-in this weekend.
We did. We had a celebrity run-in that was so themmy, it was hard to parse.
Here's the thing. I feel like it was a run-in that really gave me a sense of like, wow, I know how it feels to be part of Hollywood history now because we got yelled at by Alec Baldwin. And I feel like if you get yelled at by Alec Baldwin, either you stole his parking spot or you are a legend. You know, you're legendary. You can go to heaven now or whatever. Yeah.
So we were on Sam Sanders' show, It's Been a Minute, on NPR. One of our favorite podcasts was Truly a Dream. It was so much fun. The episode went up on Friday. Alec Baldwin listened to it on his local Connecticut NPR station. I saw that he's like quarantining from Hilaria and the kids right now in Connecticut.
Oh, really?
While
and don't
in
forget,
Manhattan or something.
He hosts a WNYC show or did. So he has a very particular...
he podcasts.
Maybe an ownership vibe over the programming on WNYC. And although we did not mention him, he did not love our segment on End of Year Celebrity. You know, just wasn't a fan.
He didn't like it. What did it actually say? What did he say? Because I have to find what he... Well, he didn't like it. And I don't really understand what his complaint was. But he tweeted at us twice and then he blocked us both and deleted the tweets. So that feels satisfying to me, I guess.
Oh, he blocked us?
He blocked us.
That's fun. I'll never see his tweets again.
I know. I never did, but to begin with. But he has one of those like very confusing, like he's not real Alec Baldwin or the Alec Baldwin or Alec the Baldwin
it's
or
like
something.
His company it's like or his charity.
ABC,
or, yeah,
ABC 613, Alec Baldwin something for real. That was fun.
Know,
listen to us on Sam's podcast.
This is a good promo for the pod because it was great and I'm very proud of it. I'm so happy we got to go on it. So go check it out after this one.
Let's talk about something important. Are they all here?
All but one.
Well, I'm going anyway. Let's talk about something important. Put that coffee down. Coffee's for closers only.
And now on to the Who news, because we talked about a lot of thems. From Jennifer Aniston to Jason Sudeikis to John Mayer to Gerard Butler to Alec Baldwin to Sam Sanders. And now we're on.
Talking about our podcast is Who We Behavior. So, as you know.
Doing self-promo.
So these are updates. These are just quick updates. We have an Erica Jayne update. We have a Gleb update. The Erica Jayne thing's interesting. There was an amazing kind of long form in the LA Times that I recommend. Did you read this? Oh, my God.
Yes, I did.
God.
Yes.
Ooh. Just like really... Things are not good. There are all this money. What's new? All the money they claim they have, they don't have that money. And they're spending somebody else's money or they're spending the bank's money in some way because he did take out some very confusing to me loans against settlements that were maybe coming, you know, and then he had to get the settlements to pay back the loans.
Both the LA Times story and this story on their surface would make you think, oh no, the divorce is so legitimate. These two people, their relationship is rocky. But conversely, they did the opposite to me, where I was like, oh no, this is all part of the plan. Like, this is yeah. all part of the show. Like, right. none of this is convincing me that they're not fully committed to each other for the rest of their lives.
Right. It's weirdly protective in its drama. Like, she posts mm-hmm. this thing with these text messages from this judge, and he was cheating on her with the judge. And all I see is like,
what apps are these? What apps are these, by the way? What are
this
these
is
phones?
What judges because... use to text. It's judge texting.
Like, I don't, like, I feel weird about these texts being online.
My thought was maybe these texts are from, like, 1982.
Right. Are they old?
Yeah.
Because they say, they're screenshots that say, like, 3G. They look like they're from an old phone. So it's like, these look like they might actually be 10 years old
I know.
Plus.
It's like, this was on her BlackBerry Pearl, and they don't even make those anymore. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's true. Mm-hmm. I do think that, like, these are old or whatever.
Yeah.
Because what even is this device?
Right. I've never seen these icons. I've never seen this interface.
And also, how did they copy and paste? How did this get Photoshopped together? There's a tush over one of the messages. The picture of the butt. Did you see, like...
Oh, yeah, the butt that's over. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Some of them are screenshots of the phone, but some of them you took a photo with your Canon PowerShot of your BlackBerry Pearl. So it's like...
Yeah.
That's the thing, the age of these photos, the questionable age of these photos and texts is the thing that made me realize that, like,
yeah.
this isn't actually shocking, this isn't actually new, this is Erica continuing to play the game. That's my interpretation of it.
And it's not just like, oh, old people phones. It's like, no, this phone does not, you can't get a phone like this anymore. And also, old people use iPhones now, so we can't even really rag on them. They mostly use iPhones.
And as of recording... This happened, what, Friday night or something? Some night, because I woke up to the news.
Yeah.
And she deleted it. And of course, you know, Page Sixes and your TMZs picked up the story, picked up the post, posted the photos. And all of them said the same thing, which is that they reached out to Erica for comment and she didn't return their request.
Which is...
So it's like, we're not getting any context here.
Yeah.
She got what she wanted. She got the distraction.
Right.
You know?
Right. So, but this only leads me to believe that they are more so trying to scam by doing this divorce to hide money, to protect assets, to try and keep some of the wealth, blah, blah, blah.
They're on the front of the Titanic, I'll never let go. Like, this is all part of the master plan. But then we got Gleb
yeah,
and Elena.
Yeah, now we have Gleb and Elena. Well, are we over Gleb and Elena? We have Gleb and Elena going on vacation, which let's not even get into how... fucking annoying that is, with Chrishell and Kao.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all on vacation together, which is interesting to me because it's like, I guess we're supposed to believe that Gleb and Kao are like best friends.
But we also cannot
forget the rumors between Gleb and Chrishell, and now Gleb's mm-hmm. new girlfriend Elena is also there. And his wife is like, why are you on vacation? Oh, wait, no. Elena's the wife. The new girlfriend's named Cassie Scarbo. Sorry. The girlfriend's named Cassie Scarbo.
She survived all of the Sharknado movies so far, and that's not easy to do, by the way. Here to get everyone even more hyped about the upcoming sixth and final installment, welcome Cassie Scarbo. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I had my coffee, so all I'm right. feeling good.
She's on vacation with Gleb, and they're on vacation, they're on a foursome vacation with Chrishell. And of course, I didn't really know anything about this until Chrishell posted, like, stop talking about conspiracy theories. And then I was like, what conspiracy theory? And then I looked it up and it was like, people think that like Chrishell and Gleb are together, but they're like hiding it by going on this like foursome vacation with Kao and like a new girlfriend.
Yeah.
I'm like,
so
that is.
Kao's a distraction.
That's work. That's work to hide that.
I also, it's hard for me to look at this photo and caption of Chrishell and Kao like hugging, looking cute, I guess. It's like, it's
at like an empty resort.
It's sort of like an awkward hug at an empty resort. Yeah. And then the caption says, if you love love, feel free to leave your beautiful positivity below. And like, I'm still really freaked out when I see people going on vacation right now, obviously.
I know.
And also when I see the word positivity in a caption, because I'm like, I thought she was talking about like a positivity rate. And it's sort of like, Chrishell, maybe you should be talking about a positivity
well,
rate
then she says,
instead of positivity.
Well, then she says, if you are insane and tied up in ridiculous conspiracy theories that were never and have ever been true... And I'm saying, if you're insane, you'd be going on vacation right now. So, look, who's insane? Me and my conspiracy theory? Or you on vacation during a worldwide pandemic? I don't know. You tell me.
Not me. I'm like, the cats are asleep behind me, and I'm like, are you? Do I look insane, cats? Am I insane? I don't think I'm the insane one. I'm not the insane one. Am I insane?
I just think this is one of those things where it's like very Barbara Streisand effect.
The Streisand effect, yeah.
Where I'm like, I didn't even know there was a conspiracy theory. She says conspiracy theory, and now I'm looking it up, being like, okay, this is ridiculous conspiracy theory that nobody.
That's a bad conspiracy
theory. That nobody actually believes. You know, that's too much work to do it. And also, I'm sorry if Glenn and Chriselle were together. What's the difference between them being together and him just dumping his wife for a new young girlfriend and going on vacation? Like, I'm sorry, no one would give it. Like, what would be the? I guess people would be harder on Chriselle, but for him, it doesn't make a freaking difference.
All of the drama around them is rumored and like mostly unsubstantiated. So there is something very chaste and cute about this drama because it's like the most G-rated drama. Involving
it really is
cheating and infidelity and allegations of these weird conspiracy theories. Like, I get the appeal of this drama. It's just very, it's very TV PG ABC, you know? Like, I get it.
Right. It's Dancing with the Stars drama. We get this every season. It's reliable. Mm-hmm. So let's move on from that because
let's move on.
Shit. Let's look at some new shit.
Twister's for me at 1 o'clock.
Well, head towards it.
What?
There's 250,000 race fans down there. We have an external tank. We drop it into the funnel, high enough and at a safe distance, detonate it, it'll dissipate the storm, or at least it'll kill all the sharks.
Dalton and Ariana are engaged. I honestly don't remember
what we said, if
we lingered on this guy.
There
Dalton
wasn't much
Gomez.
To say because there isn't much about him. Not that he's not interesting, but like the internet reveals not much, which is just, oh, he's a real estate agent. But remember, they met because he sold the house of like one of her business associates. And then like they met at a party that was like adjacent to like the selling of that house. I'm not going to remember the full story, but that's it.
And now they're engaged and the story is all about her in the ring. I think that the funniest thing about this, and I guess it suits our purposes, because this guy could not be less relevant.
I know,
the story
it's like
her, engagement.
Her last engagement came with so much baggage and so much detail about the other person because he was also a public figure. Dalton, even to like the Dalton stans, is like a mystery. We don't even, like, even they, those accounts do not know, I don't think, a lot about him.
And I think that's part of the appeal. It's like, oh, she's dating someone who doesn't matter. Great. We don't have to pretend to care about this person.
He matters to her.
We could just focus on her happiness. We want her to be happy. She seems happy. Great. I don't need to know about this guy.
I like
Amazing.
That she found somebody who was like the polar opposite of her last catastrophe. Because it's like, I mean, I don't know if they're opposites, like, you know, in terms of personality
wise,
but they are certainly this guy's a true mystery and he's like industry, but he's really not too industry. And I think that is, she found like a normie kind of, I mean, he's no like milkman, but he's a normie compared to her.
It's very Selling Sunset. It's, I mean, the whole being involved in LA real estate, expensive LA real estate,
right,
just puts you on the edge in a nice way.
You're hobnobbing, but you're not necessarily, you know, a person of note in terms of like us knowing who you are. I like that you pointed out he has no active listenings. Dude is
no
taking
active
a break.
Listings. Yeah, he's taking a break. He got some press last year because he sold that Big Bang Theory guy, Kunal Nayar's house that he bought from Nick Cage when Nick Cage was like unloading all that real estate. And he sold Shaun White's house. Like, he sells expensive,
Shaun White's house. I hate that I know this, but it took a huge hit. It was like he sold it for like $8 million less than he bought it for, something insane like that. That's the only reason I remember.
Yeah. But then, so I just think it's funny that all the conversation around this is sort of like, oh, he's a real estate agent. Let's talk about the ring. Isn't it weird? Oh, her Nona. Like, it's funny to me that this guy is just so irrelevant.
Anything to say. Her ring, which is weird, is more interesting than him, who we knew nothing about and still continue to know nothing about. Yeah, no, totally.
And then shout out to our friend Patrick, who noticed this on Comments by Celebs, because he was like, he pointed this out, which is very true. The Comments by Celebs Instagram account is a funny place to be because not only are you looking at the comments left on the actual celebrity posts, you're looking at the celebrity comments on the Comments by Celebs post. So in this instance, so he was like, it's funny that Comments by Celebs posted Ariana Grande's engagement ring photo. And it says Ariana Grande forever and then some, Hailey Bieber. Also, we've been like warped in the head, so now I can't look at Forever and Then Some without seeing like an EP title or something.
I know.
Or a single title.
Album. I know.
But Hailey Bieber commented, it was a roundup of all the celebrity comments on Ariana Grande's post. Sharon Stone commented on the comments by Celeb post and wrote, beautiful. Beautiful.
Do you think
space,
Sharon
space.
Knew she was on comments by celebs and not the actual post?
I don't think so.
Okay,
no.
Interesting.
Sharon Stone says, beautiful, space, space, God bless, Christmas tree emoji, explosion emoji, fist bump emoji.
Interesting. Okay. Interesting combination of emojis.
Interesting.
It says,
that's sort of how
screams,
I feel.
Have yourself a very Merry Christmas. Okay.
Okay.
I don't think it's fair to talk about Ariana Grande's WHO fiance and not talk about two WHO fiancés that also popped up in the news. We have two. We can talk about them not very long if they're not interesting. Again, there's not enough, there's no information, because you think Dalton Gomez is anonymous. Casey Cott from Riverdale, he got engaged to someone no one even knows the name of. Who is she? Did I read all of the Instagram comments looking for a name? Even a first name would do, just to satisfy me. Yes, and no name. Mystery
There's
bride.
There's no name.
Mystery
She's holding
bride.
They're hugging. She's holding the ring up, and no one has a name.
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 This is a Riverdale star. This is like a famous-ish person.
Yeah.
No one knows her name. I don't care.
Well, I think that's what they're betting on, that you don't care. Okay.
Yeah.
So
then there's this guy.
This I love.
Another them. We got Gabourey Sidibe.
Yeah, and she's been dating this guy for a while. And
we've talked about him.
He's
briefly.
A real firecracker. Yeah. I think we talked about him briefly. But here's the fun fact I didn't know about him, or maybe I don't think we mentioned when we talked about him. Maybe we didn't talk about him. I don't know. This guy's name is Brandon Frankel. If you do a few Googles, you'll find out this dude works for Cameo. He works in strategic partnerships with music in Cameo.
Yeah.
So you can book a Cameo with him. I think they make the Cameo employees go on Cameo, which to me is demoralizing, but I get it.
We talked about him when we talked about her doing cameos of her cats. Remember?
Right.
Because we
right.
were like, oh, well her boyfriend.
Then. Oh, that's why.
Her boyfriend has a relationship with Cameo, so that's why she does it. That's why we talked about him. But we didn't really go into who
that's
he
why.
Is.
That's why.
Well, now we're seeing a lot more of him.
And apparently they were into cameos before he worked at Cameo. He worked in music. He was like, he worked in a few
He was
agencies.
A talent agent.
Yeah, he was. Mm-hmm. And he proposed to Gabourey, and in a way that is, I guess, attention getting, because he put up balloons that say, will you marry me? Put the me over his naked body. And they took a picture and she posted it.
And it's a bed covered in rose petals. Will you marry me? And the me is covering his dick. But he's naked. That's a naked man.
I mean,
that's funny. Like, this is funny. Like,
I mean, she's
Gabby Sidibe has long been I'm funny.
Right. So like this, we're giving the benefit of the doubt because we're like, she's funny. So this is funny. And clearly this guy has a sense of humor and this is insane, but it's funny.
Hello, Matt Bailey. Hello. So you probably don't know who I am. I'm Brandon Frankel. I work in strategic partnerships over at Cameo. And we... Summer and I are excited to welcome you to the Famio.
Jesse Metcalf and Corinne Jamie Lee Clark, my favorite name in the world. My
Corinne
favorite name of the
Jamie
week.
Jamie Lee Clark. It's like a
We should do
twister.
Name of the week.
Corinne
my
Jamie
favorite
Lee
name
Clark.
Of the week. Corinne Jamie Lee Clark. Corinne Jamie Lee Clark. Apparently Jesse Metcalf is the best present. She turned, I don't know, she turned 27, I guess, this weekend or something. And so he made a birthday post about her. Happy birthday, babe. And she said, you're the best present.
Yeah. They've been dating since August. Remember that whole thing? He was quarantining with his ex-girlfriend. I think her name
People
was
think it's funny
Kara.
That she looks like Eva Longoria.
She looks like Eva Longoria. Jamie Lee Clark looks like Eva Longoria. But, like, it's funny because they're, like, she resembles Desperate Housewives Eva Longoria, meaning, like, they're using all these old photos of Eva Longoria.
Before moving on, we can just, you know, go through the Hollywood life five things to know about her, which are, the five bullet points are, Corinne is a model from Vancouver. Got it. Great. I understand her. Two, Corinne enjoys beaches, veggie dogs, and classic rock. What does
Who
that mean?
Doesn't?
It means they look through her Instagram. Yeah. They look through her Instagram feed. Three, Corinne's an aunt. Yet again, they look through her Instagram feed because she shared a photo of her nephew. Four, this beauty is, they change like the voice all the time in these, like keep it consistent, you know, whatever. Yeah. This beauty is socially conscious and politically active because she posted about the Black Lives Matter protest at the beginning of the summer. Five, Corinne isn't afraid to get philosophical. Yet again, this is information from her Instagram because she posted some philosopher's quote. I don't know.
Well, she was like, to be or not to be, that's the question or something like that.
Something like that. She talked about feelings and how feelings should be valued and honored even if they're not real. Whatever. We're done with her.
Okay.
Her name is iconic, though.
I really never want to talk about Jesse Metcalf's dating life again. I'm like, I cannot believe how much we've talked about Jesse Metcalf's dating life.
I love my Helix mattress. I love my Helix pillow. What else is there to say about Helix? I freaking love it. When I sleep on other beds,
I get mad. What is there
else
to say is that I come back to my bed and I'm like, this is the bed. This is the bed. And it's honestly spoiled me for other beds. And I don't like traveling sometimes because I'm like, this is not my bed. Where's my bed?
I want my bed.
It's my special bed. It's my special mattress because it is a mattress that is made for my body.
Mm-hmm. I took the Helix quiz. It told me which Helix mattress to get, and that's the one I got, and that's the one that I love, and that's the one that I will not stop using because it's the best mattress I've ever slept on. The mattress is so good that when we got it, my cat Winston became obsessed with it, and now he's on it all the time, and I'm you have to move because need to sleep on the bed. It's my bed. It's not your bed.
Wow.
He's obsessed with it. It's irritating, actually. Wow. He likes the Helix so much.
So rude.
Everybody is unique, and I mean everybody, two words, because everyone sleeps differently. Their bodies are different, and that's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. I'm a side sleeper / stomach sleeper. Some people are back sleepers. Some people are exclusively side sleepers. There's a Helix mattress for all of you. Not only is the Helix the best mattress I've ever slept on, the setup was fast and easy. Their mattresses are delivered in a box and straight to your door. You just open it up and it like kind of like blows back up after it comes out of the plastic and you put it on your bed and it's amazing. Plus, Helix mattresses all come with a 10 or 15 year warranty depending on the model. And if you don't want to take our word for it, Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/who. That's helixsleep.com/who. This is their best offer yet, and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Bobby, did you know that it's Live Nation's Concert Week? And from now through May 14th, you can get $25 tickets to over 5,000 summer shows.
I did know because Live Nation sent us a list of all of the concerts, and I'm obsessed because I'm definitely going to see some of these people.
Well, you can get up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, including Alanis Morissette, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson. Who else am I seeing? Lainey Wilson.
Peso Pluma and Sarah McLachlan, like back to back. That's fun. Megan Trainor, then Peso Pluma, then Sarah McLachlan, and have us the summer of my life.
So grab your tickets now through May 14th to see all of the artists you love all summer long for just $25 each. Visit livenation.com/concertweek to buy now. That's livenation.com/concertweek to buy now.
I feel like an ad is going to go right there. I do, however, want to talk about
Tyler Perry's mysterious
Tyler Perry's dating life. Tyler Perry's mysterious ex-girlfriend, Galila Bacali. I'm going to say
Galila Bacali.
Tyler Perry's mysterious ex, Galila Bacali.
We wouldn't have known about her unless, because, okay, Tyler Perry posted this like thirst trap thing that was
He's been going through a midlife crisis.
But he was like, I'm literally going through a midlife crisis. I'm single. I'm 51 and single. And like, God bless me or whatever. But the point is like, this got so much coverage that I could not believe it. I mean, I cannot think of a place that did not pick up Tyler Perry's Instagram of him saying I'm 51 and single. I was shocked at how much coverage it got. And then I didn't even know he was dating anyone. I didn't even know he had an ex.
So while I was preparing to do our interview, Tyler and I talk all the time. I didn't have to do research to talk to you.
Yeah.
Okay, so I didn't.
I said, what are we going to talk about on camera?
So I had to do research to talk to you on camera. And in my research, this did tick me off. I read that you were engaged. Are you engaged?
Oprah, when you're doing research, you don't research on a blog.
Tyler.
No, I'm not engaged. You said that.
Oh, I definitely read that you were engaged.
Do you think if I was engaged, you, of all people, wouldn't know it?
That is what I said.
Come on. Come on. You can't research through the blogs. Just find
it wasn't a blog. It wasn't a blog.
That's the problem nowadays. The legitimate papers pick up what the blogs are saying.
It said you were...
Not true. Not true.
Not true.
Not true.
So there's no engagement on the horizon.
No.
I didn't know he had an ex. I didn't know he had kids with an ex. Tyler Perry is a them, but the thing about Tyler Perry is... even though he's a them, that makes him a little more private and mysterious. Yes, that's how thems behave. That's why they're less fun to talk about, because they don't give us a lot in terms of, you know, revealing personal information the way that who's do. Obviously, that's the point of this podcast. He is very much like he gets the businessman angle all the time. Like, he's just, you know, the most hardworking man in Hollywood. No one works more than Tyler Perry. Look at him, like, finding a way to keep his studio afloat during Corona and setting the example for everyone else, blah, 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 blah. Then suddenly, he's going through a midlife crisis. He doesn't post thirsty photos on his Instagram at all. He finally starts doing it during the pandemic. And then he posts his latest one, a Diddle Gym selfie. And he's like, by the way, I'm single. And everyone's like, excuse me, you're single? You had a girlfriend? Yes, he had a girlfriend. She was a model.
Right.
Dalila Bacale.
And they had a kid. They have a kid.
And they had a
they
kid.
They have a kid.
Yes.
They have a kid.
So I was like, I have to look up this woman. She's 34 I know. Years old. There was this People source, because I guess... So People was like, tell us about this. He's single. He's single. Because People knew. I felt stupid for not knowing this. The source told People they amicably split some time ago and remain close friends.
I guess
that,
like,
could be months or years. We don't know.
We looked into it. I'm sure the information was out there, but I just never looked up whether Tyler Perry was dating anyone.
That's not the coverage he gets. Yeah, that's just not the coverage he gets. He gets coverage for being a workhorse.
Right.
He gets coverage for, like, doing the most.
But she's a model slash activist. She's a model. She's from Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes. And she was a model, like, second. So, like, she fell into modeling, which I think is a sort of interesting, actually. Like, she wasn't always intending to be a model, but then, like, she traveled so much and she's beautiful, and then she turns into modeling.
Hi, this is Tiga Salam with Tadias Magazine, and I'm sitting here with the lovely Galila Bakala, model and humanitarian. Galila, tell us a little bit about ourselves. Where were you born, and when did you get here? Mm-hmm. Could you tell us more?
Sure. Tadias Salam. Let's see where to start. I was born in Ethiopia, in Addis, and my family moved to Europe when I was 8 years old. I came to the U.S. to start college after high school. And that's when the whole modeling thing started.
Tell me about that. I mean, what do you enjoy about modeling?
It's not a career that you excel at something because you're clever or smart with certain subjects. Mm-hmm. Or it's different. It's completely based on your physical mm-hmm. appearance, which... and God, and that's it. So I couldn't take any credit for having to... be good at modeling.
I found a lot of her stuff. So she does, like, fashion stuff, Tory Burch, Michael Kors, whatever. And then I saw that she did an ad for Nespresso, and I was like, slammed on the brakes. I was like, I have to see Galila's Nespresso ad. It's really good. I guess the idea was, like, all the pods are from different parts of the world, and so she did ads for Nespresso pods from Ethiopia.
Oh.
And it's like her drinking Nespresso pods. And I'm like, honestly, makes me want an espresso machine.
She's also a filmmaker. She's produced a few films. She's directed some films. Mm-hmm. I think they're...
and an author.
One was at Cannes. And she met Tyler Perry at a Prince concert.
At a Prince concert.
In 2009.
Yes, in 2009. So they've been together since 2009. They broke up.
I know.
No idea when. It just says... what was the language again? Because the language could mean anything. Some time ago could mean... anything.
But you found this funny thing where he posted about his midlife crisis, and literally the same day she posted a picture of herself and just wrote, Paris! She looks amazing. She's in Paris!
That's, like, the reason I wanted to keep this story in here, because he's a them, yes, she's a who. It's like two two shots of themselves that are almost the identical crop too. Like they are.
I know their body proportions
sister
are the
images.
Same.
You could,
without much work, you could Photoshop them standing next to each other in terms of like, yeah. You'd have to make her a little smaller, but yeah, same idea.
A little bit smaller. I just like the tonal shift and the fact that these are posted on the same day is so funny. Tyler Perry, this is what a midlife crisis looks like. I'm 51, single, and I'm wondering what the next chapter in my life will look like. Whatever it looks like, I'm going to walk with God, be the best father and man I can be, hold my head up high, and try to look my best doing it. In a world with so much sadness, please try and stay in the good. Merry Christmas, and let's look forward to 2021 bringing us peace. And then here is Galila at some cafe, modeling some little black dress, hand in her hair, doing the model pose, and
Paris.
It says, Paris! Kissy face emoji.
Bitch, I'm in Paris! Avec
Emma Boone.
I'm single, I'm in Paris.
The actress Emmanuelle Béart comments, blue heart. Anyway, love her.
Love
Paris.
It. Paris!
Bonjour.
Bienvenue au Plaza Athénée. Oh,
merci beaucoup. Oh, merci. Merci beaucoup.
Nous sommes ravis de vous accueillir dans notre établissement ce matin.
Hi. A little slower, s'il vous plaît.
Oh, but of course. American.
New Yorker.
Didn't we talk about this already?
No. Cordova Street
I thought we did.
Always dating someone, but not Suzanne Summer's granddaughter that we talked about. Sorry, no. Do you still think that we talked about this already? We didn't.
I'm kind of laughing. I thought we talked about Suzanne Summer's. Whatever, it's fine. Let's talk about them now, even if we have talked about them in the past.
We haven't talked. I can guarantee. You know, I'm the one who always forgets. I can guarantee we have not talked about Cordova Street and Camellia Summers. Suzanne
Camellia
Summers' granddaughter.
Summers.
This is great because it says their new romance comes more than 2 years after he split from Emma Watson, whom he dated for several months. Literally the most eventful thing in his life, according to People magazine, is dating Emma Watson for 2 months. Several months. Sorry, that could be three or four. But it wasn't many. This was when we found out he was a witch. Remember, we traced his lineage and we were like, he's a witch. So once again, he's done his magic.
He's a witch.
He's captured Suzanne Summer's granddaughter, who is the heiress to the Thighmaster fortune. I don't know. What? I don't know.
Great legs.
Thank you.
How do you get them?
I used to do aerobics till I dropped. Then I found Thighmaster. Every single time you squeeze Thighmaster, you strengthen and tone right where you need it. So it's easy to squeeze your way to shape the hips and thighs.
I thought I'd never fit into these jeans again. Thank you, Thighmaster.
She was briefly on a soap, The Bold and the Beautiful. So that's her main thing. And they were spotted together at her birthday dinner in October, which had a lot of people at it. This past October, Camellia celebrated her 25th birthday at home with her parents, friends, and a man who strongly resembled Overstreet. Here's the thing. Unless he's going back in time and being spotted in old photos from the Salem witch trials, it's probably him. If you think it's him, it's probably him. This reminds me of, remember when people were like, that's Nick Cage. There's some like old photo from like the 1800s. And they were like, that's
the
Nicolas
vampire.
Cage or whatever. Yeah. This is me like looking through like old pictures from Salem and seeing Cord Overstreet, who has, you know, been living since then because he's a witch. Mm-hmm.
He is a witch. I know that I've been on her Instagram in the past few months, and maybe that's why I'm thinking about this, but
why?
It might just be because I was Googling like, why the hell would I have been Googling Camellia Summers? Because I know I've read about this girl in the past few months.
Yes, why?
And I think it was because she, much like Ava Phillippe, much like, you know, who were all the children of famous people who look like their famous parents?
You think
she recently
like
started
Suzanne
giving
Summers?
She recently started getting lookalike coverage.
Oh.
Because she is of the age where she's like pretty and young and has a social media presence,
yeah,
where it's like people are discovering her. And I think that's why, because I'm finding headlines where it's like Suzanne Summers poses with lookalike granddaughter Camellia Summers.
Yeah.
So I think that's why.
Well,
not because she was dating a witch over the
Suzanne
summer.
Suzanne has more granddaughters. This is just the one that's blonde. So she's the one who like quote unquote looks like her. Suzanne mm-hmm. Summers, in case you don't know who that is. Oh my God, I feel like we need to say who Suzanne Summers is.
She's a she's a them. I think she's still a them. Maybe a who.
Yeah.
God, maybe she's a who.
I don't know. She's most known, I guess, from Three's Company, but like she's more known by just being around and being kind of like a 80s like celebrity than even Three's Company, don't you think? She was like the ditzy blonde in that show, but then she ended up doing so many weird commercials for stuff that people kind of just like fell in love with her from that.
Mm-hmm. She loves attention too, because
really?
She loves being
does she?
The sexy one, because it's like, I remember I was, when I was at Jezebel, she was promoting a book or something, and she was doing this press tour where she was going to all these talk shows just talking about like destigmatizing old people talking about sex, where it's just like, that's sort of her vibe.
Well, her big thing was like, yes, she was on Three's Company, but mostly she did all this stuff about like aging, like because she was like, mm-hmm. she looks so good. She looks so good. Oh, she's older and she looks so good. And so she wrote this book called The Ageless, and she wrote about bioidentical hormone replacement therapy.
Sure.
And she wrote all these diet books, which is like, bleh. But maybe that, I think she's kind of hooey though, because like,
she's hooey.
Yeah. Because now I'm like saying all these things she's done, and I'm like, she's famous for promoting bioidentical hormone replacement therapy? Okay.
I'm looking at one of her most iconic things. This I've seen in stores a million times. Her three-way poncho.
Oh my God, I was just going to say, have you seen her
three-way poncho?
Yeah, it was as seen on TV. It's professional, classy, and dressy, which is shocking to have both. Wait, I wonder if, is there an ad for that?
Getting dressed can be such a fuss. Uncomfortable clothing shows every bump and bulge. Find out why everyone is saying,
I love my three-way.
I love my three-way.
Three-way poncho, that is.
Three-way poncho, it's my problem solver. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a little bloated or if you're carrying a little extra weight. This is my one go-to outfit that gives me so many incredible looks, like casual,
or professional,
or dressy for a night out.
Now you can have Suzanne's style secret with three-way poncho. Just layer over leggings or jeans for the perfect casual look. Three-way ponchos all-season ultra-soft fabric drapes beautifully, yet still breathable and lightweight right out of the washing machine. And it's so versatile. Simply pull three-way poncho off the shoulder for a look that's just right for a night on the town. And the next day, three-way poncho will have you ready for carpool. Three-way poncho makes traveling so easy. Pull it up into a stylish hood. Wear it by the poolside for a meeting, or a night out.
Show off your assets.
Can you amaze?
You gotta show off your assets.
Being like, is that the fucking poncho again?
I think she wears the three-way poncho every single day of her life.
I love that they are like, not that three-way. I'm like, I wasn't even thinking that.
that's the Suzanne Summers gag where she's like, I fuck.
Yeah,
like everything is always served with the side of I'm fucking right after we're done filming this.
Which is great, because I went to her YouTube channel and turns out she has a podcast, although I'm not quite sure knows what a podcast is, because it's just
Lindsay. Lindsay sent me the YouTube video of Suzanne Summers' podcast, and it's literally just a vlog, but she keeps calling it a podcast.
Well, she's like, Alan's Suzanne. Over here. Alan, what's the weather? And her husband's like, it's sunny. Like, it's truly like, it's honestly amazing. Like, please play a clip, because it is truly exactly what a podcast should be, you know. Mm-hmm. She even has a logo for it, calling a podcast, and her name is trademarked. Do you know her name is trademarked? That is a legend. That's legend status.
I think her first name is the trademark too. I think it's like Suzanne is the name of her company, because she sells a lot of stuff. She sells her thigh master, she sells skincare, she sells like gut health stuff, and her poncho. I was looking at some of the reviews for the three-way poncho on Amazon.
Yeah.
And this review just seems so emblematic of a Suzanne Summers three-way poncho review. 5 stars. Reviewed in the United States on January 29th, 2019.
Yeah.
Topic, subject, verified purchase, rotator cuff surgery clothing. And then there's this. Just had rotator cuff surgery, and this was recommended by someone on YouTube sharing a video of her same surgery experience. It's perfect for easy on and off lounging and sling gear. While I'm petite, making this one size fits all quite large, it is just right with its style, soft knit, and wash and wear. Glad I found this to make part of this recovery less challenging.
I mean, to be fair, the way that Suzanne is promoting this is not the way I want to hear it. I do love hearing that from somebody who got rotator cuff surgery, this poncho does it all. It does
it. I love it.
All. That's all I need to hear. We're not even talking about the daughter anymore. We're just talking about Suzanne, which is fine. Which is fine by me.
What is there to say about the daughter?
There isn't much. There's nothing to say about the daughter. The only thing
I found... Oh, she went to USC? Really? She did? Okay.
Well, I wonder how she got in. That's all I'll say.
Suzanne Summers podcast.
From sunny California, where it's a little chilly.
Yeah.
It's the Suzanne Summers Show.
Hi, everybody. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas.
Yeah.
That's our rock machine, Caroline.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, guess what you're going to get today in your surprise box? It could have something to do with Rudolph.
Is this going to get cut? I don't know. Maybe. But maybe it's not going to get cut. Maybe you're going to be listening to this.
Here's the thing. We have a nepotism problem.
Maybe one of the biggest nepotism problems in our podcast's history since the college. It's the biggest nepotism problem since the college admission scandal, I think. Okay. So Vulture.
Specifically Rachel Handler.
Rachel Handler of Vulture did a week-long Nancy Myers tribute. So every day there was new content on Vulture from Monday to Friday. Nancy Myers Week is what they called it.
When this all comes out and Rachel writes an honestly very face value loving taxonomy of her movies that goes into severe detail about all the wonderful things about them and how specific and particular they are and how great that is for all of her fans.
It's auteur theory. It's like Nancy is among a very short list of directors who have an incredibly identifiable and enviable aesthetic. That she is singular in a way that directors aspire to be. But despite Rachel writing something that is explaining that in grand detail, Nancy got a little caught up in her history, and so did her daughter, Hallie Myers-Shire.
Yeah, well, that's how we get to the hooey portion of this segment, which is not talking about Nancy Myers. It's talking about Hallie Myers-Shire. Oh, my God. I always forget that it's like it's multiple Myers, singular Shire. Myers-Shire.
Yes.
Hallie Myers-Shire, multiple Nancy Myers' daughter.
Singular Shire.
Okay. Who posts an Instagram that is also a pregnancy reveal, which is also the mind-boggling thing about this, that goes into detail about how mad she was about the... I guess specifically the taxonomy piece, but also a quick reference to her directorial debut, Home Again, the biggest flop of the Ove, and we call it the Ove because it's people say that Nancy Myers was nearby, and this is not something that's like a joke anymore. Literally, Nancy Myers was nearby. This is confirmed by interviews done with people who were in the movies, including Reese Witherspoon, who started it, saying Nancy Myers was nearby. She literally was nearby when this movie was directed.
Nancy Myers yelled cut on the set of Home Again, which her daughter directed.
Right.
She had a problem with them writing technically directed by Hallie Myers-Shire, but the point is, like, even in the context of the story, the technically was not a read. The technically was specifically to remind the readers who may not be aware that Home Again is not a Nancy Myers movie, that even though it's part of the Nancy Myers package, it was directed by her daughter. That's the only reason technically was there.
Exactly.
And yeah, she's mad at the taxonomy. She's mad that Rachel pointed out that the women in her movies tend to cry a lot. The women in her movies have kitchens that look like this. Blah, 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 blah. So after this very, very long rant on an Instagram story expressing her disapproval with Ms. Handler and her journalism, a lot of celebrities joined her side of the fight. And they said, hell yeah, Hallie Myers-Shire, speak truth to power.
It's not interesting about a celebrity being mad about their critical coverage. What's crazy is the bubble that Hallie Myers-Shire created, in which you have celebrities being like, you go, girl. And I guess, do you want to read some of the... I feel like I don't want to read the entire thing that she wrote because I'm like, bleh, you know?
And I do really think this is an extension of her being mistreated by really powerful people in Hollywood who refuse to give her the benefits and the trust that they would give a male director who makes as much money for them as Nancy Myers does for these studios. Nancy Myers movies are always hits. Every single one of them is a hit and is profitable. However, she has a hard time getting movies made. This was a big part of her intern press tour where she was like, even though I made the most successful romantic comedy of all time with What Women Want, it's been hard for me to make movies ever since. They think of them as women's movies, you know, like all of this goes back to that. And so I'm sure that Hallie has gotten an earful of that. Nancy kind of hasn't said anything. It's her daughter doing everything, and her daughter sort of torpedoed it all. I think that's the nugget of what makes it interesting in our purposes, because like Nancy still, even though she's resentful and she's angry, she's still old school in the fact that like she's not commenting. She's saying what she said and she's walking away. Meanwhile, Hallie, because she's new, is like, I'm going to leave an Instagram story reply. And guess what? That's the thing that ruins this whole thing for them, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have the one voice of reason is Tavi Gevinson. Miss 300 Ashland partner herself, Tavi Gevinson, who says...
What's iconic is Tavi Gevinson is famous enough to be in these comments and be noticed, but not famous enough to have a brain.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So yeah. She has a brain. And she also... is bold enough and
not
doesn't
famous
give a shit
enough to not have a brain.
She's also not famous enough to be brain dead and sucking up to Nancy Myers to try and get her next movie. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I mean? Or sucking up to Hallie or whatever. So like she's the
or
only
not
one
even,
who
it's,
makes an because Reese Witherspoon's out here being like, how dare they say you only technically directed Home Again? It's like, no, that's not what Rachel said. If you actually read it, that's not what Rachel said. Yeah.
And also Reese, the next day after you left that Instagram, Rachel published an interview with you where you said in a story called What It's Like to Be Directed by Nancy Myers, you talked about being directed by Nancy Myers on the set of Home Again, which was directed by Hallie. Tavi says, aw man, in response to Hallie's thing, I read that article and thought it was a total love letter, which I think is how Lindsay and I read it too. I don't think it's sexist or reductive to taxonomize tropes in someone's movies, even if those tropes are costumes. Costumes are creative decisions. Male filmmakers get this treatment too. To me, it seemed very flattering, not dancing on anyone's shoulders. I can see why the Home Again stuff would sting, but to be fair, Sofia Coppola has gotten shit about nepotism ever since she was an actress, and I don't think her or Reitman's movies are thematically as close to their parents as Home Again was to your mom's. I don't know why I care about this. I suppose I take charges of sexism seriously, and I don't think that's what's going on here. Again, coming from her background as like the founder of Rookie.
What about Nancy Myers kind of refusing to answer questions about the idea that all of her characters are white and rich? Sure, you know, maybe mm-hmm. this is a distraction from that, which is maybe more of the important question as to why we're debating whether Nancy Myers is sexist or not. Because I don't mm-hmm. think that she is sexist, and I also don't think anyone's accusing her of being sexist. I think there's a defensiveness that is like, you know, anyone talking about women's stuff, right? Then we start talking about sexism or whatever. And I think what Nancy probably experiences in her industry is various degrees of sexism, but has nothing to do with the fandom surrounding her work.
Anyway, it's a fascinating thing. It's like sort of fun to talk about. Mostly Nancy Myers Week rules and was good. Shout out to Rachel for doing that. Nancy Myers makes fun movies. There's a reason we like them, but ugh.
And I guess it's like, don't meet your heroes, you know, be careful what you wish for, because...
I think the greatest headline to come out of this was Page Six's, which you don't even have to read the story. No offense. I'm just saying the headline does all the work. Nancy Myers' daughter furious about loving tribute to her mother. Like, that's the story in the nutshell.
Iris lives next door to Arthur, he's a doodly-doo, and also a doodly-doo,
a scroodly-doo, is it? I didn't know it.
Yeah.
And fruitly-doo, we both said fruitly. I'm impressed. You are a prodigy, a doodle prodigy.
We've talked about FK Twigs in the past, who is absolutely a who when compared to Shia LaBeouf, who is absolutely them. I think Twigs is a music them for sure, because she's so... beloved by like music people.
Well, she also shows up a lot. Like she's always like doing something, like at a event. Like she just showed up on somebody's performance of something somewhere. Wasn't that memorable? Oh, I'm sorry, but I feel like she's very much known as like she's an incredible pole dancer, and she's always kind of singing and pole dancing at the same time, which I can't even do either of those things separately. So to see her do them together, I think even though I've seen it many, many times, I'm still always amazed. I'm like, this girl is like unbelievably talented.
They wanna see us alone. They wanna see us apart. They wanna see us, wanna I try, but I get over.
So she dated Shia LaBeouf for a while. It was like when, because they were on the movie Honey Boy.
Well, he was married and then he broke and then they broke it off and then he was dating her and then he
with
got
Mia Goth,
back yeah. together with his Mia Goth. His,
so this yeah, sort of comes out of
wife or wife.
Out of nowhere in the sense that they broke up mid last year. Like they've been broken up for over a year.
What people were kind of noticing, which was interesting, was that Shia and Twigs were dating and Twigs had dated Robert Pattinson and Mia Goth had also dated Robert Pattinson and Mia Goth and Shia were mm-hmm. married and separated at this time when Twigs and Shia.
Look so at these threads.
Like, wow. Like they literally just like switched. Yeah. Like there's all this, there's a vibe here. They're all feeding off each other's vibe, but clearly there's also a very bad vibe because the New York Times came out with this report that Twigs is suing Shia. For many reasons, but mostly for abuse, mm-hmm. for abusive
and,
behavior.
And, you know, she had to put her name in the filing. She accused him of, it was like, what were the actual things? Oh, relentless abuse, sexual battery, assault, and infliction of emotional distress. So, I mean, in terms of like a media angle of this, because the story is really upsetting. It is about, it's about long-standing emotional and physical abuse. It's a tough read because it's extremely detailed, but in terms of like the media angle, it was written by two women, and I think that's really important. I've seen a lot of people write about this or talk about this where it's like this was written by two women who are in the New York Times knowing that this is going to be a huge story, get a lot of attention, and knowing that they have to do their part to explain like what abuse looks like. So in a sense, like what FKA Twigs is doing in this via these two reporters is like kind of explaining how abuse works. It's almost like educational in a sense, where Twigs, obviously she's suffered so much personal harm and personal damage from this guy allegedly, but like you can see her doing a public service here because she's like, this is how women get trapped in these relationships. This is how it happens, and it happened to me, and I never thought it would happen to me, but it happened to me. Everything was nice at the beginning, and then I felt like I couldn't leave this. I couldn't leave this guy. And so it's written yeah. so carefully and thoughtfully where it explains like what the honeymoon phase is. And you know, it asks the questions because it knows that like these like red pill dudes are going to be like, why didn't you just leave? And it addresses that. It's like, this is why I didn't leave, because I truly felt like I couldn't.
Well, even when the person mm-hmm. is famous and you're in the spotlight, I think that to me is the most like, she knows it'll get the attention that this stuff brings to an issue that I feel like people cannot really not necessarily yeah. relate with. A lot of people, they don't really see relationships like this realistically. They just see like yeah. the celebrity aspect of it all. And so it's notable for many reasons. And also because Shia LaBeouf has had major substance abuse issues,
violence
and
issues.
All of this stuff. He's gone through a lot of therapy and whatever, but clearly, you know, is still someone that needs work, help, whatever. I guess
more in terms of our purposes, I find it hard to believe, and I don't think this is cynical of me, I find it hard to believe that education and like the the quote unquote like capital I importance of what she was doing was not considered when she did this. She must have been told by her lawyers, by her friends, by people she like opened up to that like, no, it's good that you're doing this. Like, you have to believe that this is a good thing that you're doing, even though it's like really, really tough for you. Like, this is going to be helpful and important to people. But then, and then you had Sia join in and say, and Sia tweeted after the Twigs story went like, I'm proud of you, Twigs, for doing this. It's courageous. I'm proud. I was emotionally hurt by Shia. She called him a pathological liar.
Well, she said he conned her into an adulterous relationship, which implies he was married at the time. And I guess
and
they
so
had
he was
an
like,
affair
no, I'm single.
While they were doing
I'm technically married,
that music
but
video
no,
they did or whatever. But I am single. We're on a break. Mm-hmm. Blah, blah. I'm sure he pulled that shit. And now, honestly, there are photos of him being spotted with Margaret
yeah,
Qualley.
So that's the most like upsetting update. It's not that it's thoughtless, because I think that required a lot of thought. I think it's really insensitive. I don't know another way to read what she did, because there were photos of her taken over the weekend out in public making out with Shia LaBeouf, which it's just like, you can't not know that this is happening. How do you think that you're going to be getting any sort, like, you know, you're going to get press for being out with Shia LaBeouf base level with or without this lawsuit. So, like, why would you do that anyway?
She picked him up, or he picked her up from the airport. She picked him up from the airport, and they're making out in the back of the car, and the paparazzi are clearly there, and it's very overt, and it's kind of like,
fuck you, well, Twigs. Fuck That's you. How I read it. Yeah.
Like, whatever. Yeah. And I'm kind of like, does this girl have like anyone mm-hmm. texting her being like, what yeah. the fuck? I hope so. You know, because it feels like Margaret Qualley is like everywhere. And yet
it's a fuck you. But it's also like you can't. I mean, this is look what he just got sued for. Like, you can't also not sort of suspect that, like, who knows what the situation is.
Who knows what situation they're in. Who knows what's going on with Margaret
Qualley. Like, maybe this is also much darker than it seems. Like, it's really unpleasant.
Totally.
And so you just get the feeling that, like, this is, it's one of the reasons we waited a little bit to talk about it, because our instincts were correct. These sorts of stories are the ones that, like, will continue drip dropping new and more upsetting information for like several weeks. You know, like this is the beginning of this story. It's not the end of the story. But we can end on a brighter note. Let's move into Rita.
What was she wearing? Where was she seen? She posted what on Instagram? She's the Who Queen. Tens of people want to know all about. What's Rita Ora up to?
Good morning, Rita Ora. We're talking about you.
As we discussed on our Patreon over the weekend, which we do two episodes of the Patreon a week, and someone called about Rita Ora and like, why do you talk about Rita Ora? Like, does she know? It was a long conversation, but Lindsay was like, you know what I've been wanting to do for a long time that we don't do is we should explain what the Rita Ora segment is every week when we come out of the theme music, where we say, this is our...
Right, so here's how I would do it. This is a segment where we talk about what famous singer and actress Rita Ora is up to.
We've been doing it every week since Who Weekly began, and we're going to do it this week too, because guess what? It's part of the DNA. What is Rita Ora up to this week?
Okay.
Nothing.
Rita Ora is...
She also flew to Bulgaria to film a music video. She's laying low in the sense that she's not Instagramming. I think that's, like, she's still going about her business.
She flew to Bulgaria to film a music.
I mean, it is fascinating to see that her Instagram has gone dark since this, because.
Well, it's kind of crazy, but she kind of became the face of a celebrity doing a pandemic no-no in the UK. I mean, she fucked up in that way, because people are going to when people recall what went on this year, that's one of the things they're going to remember, you know, is Rita Ora's birthday party. I think she thought she was invincible, maybe. And I don't know about
Lindsay,
that.
Lindsay, I take it back.
With this thing. Because this is like.
It hasn't gone dark.
Yeah.
She hadn't posted since November 29th. She posted again literally this morning, like 45 minutes ago. Throwback Christmas photos of her as a baby. In front of a Christmas tree. Because she was like, can't show what I'm doing this year. Better show what I did when I was four.
Pandering.
We got Sookie Waterhouse saying, cutie. We got Vaz Morgan saying, baby Rita is the cutest. So anyway, that's what Rita is up to. She's still going about her business. She's just laying low. I cannot believe she went to Bulgaria. Guess we're going to Bulgaria.
Just can't believe she's going to Bulgaria.
God. Okay.
Rita,
sorry.
Come
this podcast
on.
Really, you know, right, went up whatever, and down fine. With regards to tone. But you know what? It's 2020. That's what happens. So thank you for listening. We're done for today. If you want more Who stuff, go to our Patreon, patreon.com/weekly.
If you're don't Alec go to Baldwin, either. Thank you for checking out this episode.
If you're Alec Baldwin, I don't want you here.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you again to Sam Sanders for having us on his show. Again, you can listen to that. Wherever you get your podcasts. One of my favorite podcast isms is on podcast ads or the end of episodes where they go, listen to us now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. I always feel like, oh, thanks for giving me permission. Thank you so much.
Well, I think now people understand where to get podcasts. So you say, you know, So if you want to listen to more Who Weekly, you could listen to us, you know.
You make that decision.
You make that decision. Because I know that you know where to find podcasts.
Thank you so much. Call in at 619-WHO-THEM to leave questions, comments, and concerns. We play... I'm going to be a little more descriptive of why I ask for things. So in case you're new here, the reason we ask you to call 619-WHO-THEM is because we have a special weekly call-in show on Fridays called Who's There, where we take your questions, comments, and concerns. We play some of our favorite calls and address them on the show. If you want to be part of the show, call 619-WHO-THEM, and maybe you will be. But until then, have a great week. Bye.
Bye.
You or Jayla?
Yo, they want to know.
To be famous.